reading to you from the 11th chapter of John and with the 25th verse. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ it'll soon be 47 years ago. In a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Well, 1 year later, the God snuck up on my blind side and blessed me with a call that I didn't even want. But boy, howdy, am I glad that I said yes to him. Oh, I know, man, there's a million preachers that can preach a storm around me, but none of them love the Lord any more than I do. And no one loves the souls any more than I do. That I can say. Well, listen, friends, I'll be with you for an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a cup of coffee or a glass of tea, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Dear friends, would you unite your heart with me at prayer at this time? Gracious Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you, dear Lord, for your love, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be on this broadcast tonight. I thank you that we were born and raised in this great nation, but Lord, our president and all other leaders need some real encouragement. Seems like the opposition are putting them down and trying to hurt them, but they're only killing themselves. If they only knew that they're doing wrong. I just pray for all of our leaders, Lord, and I pray for our servicemen and women here and abroad. And I pray, Lord, for all of our allies that you be with them and help them to stand with us. But, Lord, we don't want to do anything that you don't want us to do, so lead our president, I pray. Lord, you know the physical, financial, and spiritual needs of all of our very listening family and also this ministry. And I do pray, Lord, that you'll take care of us. God, I tell you, it's so good to be able to tell people about Jesus. Lord, honor your word, lift up Jesus, and hide me behind the cross. Save that man or woman who's confused tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to Isaiah and the first chapter and the 18th verse? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Tonight our message title is Sinners Come and Be Clean. You know, one that doesn't have to know, be around too long to know that when I finish a message, I always, always give an invitation for people to put their trust in Christ. Many, many years ago, a great evangelist, D.L. Moody, was preaching a series of revivals in his temple there in Chicago. Well, he didn't give an invitation. One night, two nights, three nights, I forget how many nights. And guess what happened? The great Chicago fire. Many, many people perished. And it really touched D.L. Moody's heart. And from that time on, D.L. Moody would not preach unless he gave an invitation. I was privileged to hear Billy Sunday many, many years ago when I was 9 years old. He, too, would not finish a message without giving an invitation. And you know something else, dear friends? He dealt with each person personally. He had a bad back, and he built a little altar there that he could kneel behind. And sometimes it'd be 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning that Billy Sunday would deal with people. I have been to churches where people come forward, several, and the pastor turned the job over to a deacon's or somebody else. And that's all right. And I'm not condemning it, but I'll tell you right now, it's best if that lost man gets an opportunity to talk to the pastor. And there's a lot of pastors don't understand this. They'll have 8 or 9, 10 associate pastors, good men, good qualified men, and they'll go out on visitation. But the people want to see their pastor, their shepherd, their under-shepherd. And I know that's hard to do, but I did that when I pastored and I worked. I had to work every day in order to support my family. But I would out every night and I'd go visiting. I'd go in our homes. I'd sit down and have a cup of coffee with them. Sometimes I'd sit there for an hour. Nowadays, you go to the hospital, and the minute the pastor comes in, he starts checking his watch. And if you get a 5-minute visit, you're pretty fortunate. That's terrible, friends, and I'm not condemning them, but I'm telling them this is what's wrong with our people. They don't hear from somebody that can tell them what their needs are. You know, how strange that God invites people to come to him. One would think that we'd be knocking on his door. Strange it may seem. God seeks us before we seek him. You know, I told you many years ago as an alcoholic, I tried to figure out what was the matter with me. What caused me to go do the things that I did? Well, there's no valid excuse. But the one thing that I was so sorrowful, I losing my mom, my dad, my sister, and then being beat all my young life with my stepmother, I had sorrow. But I'll tell you one thing, beloved. If you think that booze is going to comfort you, you are full of prunes. It does not. It intensifies your hurts. I read in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost." Now tonight, if you're a lost church member or just an ordinary lost person, you don't know it, but the Lord's looking for you. You remember the time I told you I staggered into that mission down in Portland, Oregon, and Skid Row? I went in there because I heard the most beautiful music I'd heard in a long time. I sat down in the back, almost the very back of the church, and all of a sudden, a man stood up and said, "You know, I used to be an alcoholic, but I have accepted Jesus, and now I'm delivered and I'm saved." And you know what I thought? Lord, how did you know I was going to be there? I truly felt that the Lord was chasing me. Now, that's the truth. There's only two kinds of people in the world tonight: those that are saved and those who are lost. The question I ask, which one are you? Now, you know whether you're lost and you know whether you're saved, because the Bible said the Spirit of God will reveal to our hearts the assurance that we've been born again. Now, that isn't too hard to understand. Isaiah called to invite people to come and be clean. What a wonderful, wonderful invitation. An invitation that is still being extended today, and not in too many churches. Friends, you say, "Well, why do you mention it?" Because it's true. My own denomination, friends, when I was saved there 46 years ago, there was no such a thing as going to one of our churches that you didn't hear a gospel message and you didn't receive an invitation to trust Jesus. But I can take you to many of our churches and denominations today that don't even give an invitation. They don't have services at night. Their prayer meetings is nothing. The preacher gets up and does a little something, and then they a couple guys pray, and that's it. Oh, friends, what we need today is for people to kneel and to pray. Now, if you got a big organization. You got 150, 200 in church. I suggest you break up in meetings of 5 or 10. And then you can all have an opportunity to pray. And I'll tell you, beloved, you can't pray too much. God loves to hear from his children. First thing in the morning when I get up, I go to the Lord in prayer and thank him for the night's rest. I thank him for my wife and my family. Thank him for my New Grace Quartet and for our prison ministries and our radio broadcast. Why, I wouldn't feel right if I didn't do that. And you know what, friends? The Lord wants to hear from you what your needs are today. He said, what? He said he would supply your needs. He said he would, and that's exactly what he says. But he wants to hear from you about it. If you have a need, tell him about it. He already knows, but he wants to hear from you to see what you think. Now, God will always answer prayer. But honest, he sometimes don't answer the way we want to. And aren't you glad? Oh, some of the crazy prayers that I had, why, I'd have gotten a whole bit of trouble if he'd have done for me what I asked him to do. He does for us what is best for you and I. The one wonderful thing about this is that he doesn't care if you're short, tall, skinny, fat, black, white, rich, poor. We are all included in this invitation. We're always hearing about racial prejudice. Well, he isn't prejudiced. Why? Because he made us all. And he loves you just as much as he loves me. You say, Cecil, you don't know my life. Well, I do know what Jesus did. He died for you. He took your sins. He took my sins upon him so that he would give us eternal life. Oh, friends, how can you turn your back on someone that loves you so much? Now, let's look and see what this invitation is all about. Excuse me. An invitation to reason at an unreasonable time. He said, come now and let us reason together. Now, no one is to be excluded from this invitation. Isaiah's nation was in deep trouble. The world is in deep trouble. America is in deep trouble. The people had rebelled against the Lord, verse 2 through 4. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his master, the donkey his own manager, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. They chose not to think about God. Sin was rampant. Corruption was everywhere. Isaiah 1:4. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They had forsaken the Lord. They had spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Friends, that does sound like America, don't it? Folks, have you been watching the news lately on TV? There is corruption in every nation in the world. And listen, dear friends, let me tell you, I might say things about our country, but I wouldn't trade America for any country in the world. I wouldn't trade our American flag for anything in the world. We got some of the bravest men and women since the beginning of time, and we fought in several wars. Our men and women are prepared and they're trained and they're ready to protect the land that you and I live in. You bet they are. The wayward ones had not responded to chastening. Verse 5, why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, your whole heart afflicted. They were a sin-sick people. In verse 6, from the soles of your foot to the top of your head, there is no soundness, only wounds and wits and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Well, crime and violence characterized the age. Rebellion didn't make sense in the light of God's blessings. And still, God invited them to come to him and reason together. Now, you know why God gave us John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We will never be able to understand that verse of Scripture until we get to heaven. For God loves you. God loves me. And you know, I've told you many times, the morning that Brother Tom Baird led me to Christ, when he read John 3, he'd read about Nicodemus and Jesus, but when he got to John 3:16, I said, "Hold it, preacher, wait a minute. My mama used to read that to me and my sister when we were little kids. What does that mean?" And then he said, "Cecil, I'm going to paraphrase that now. For God so loved Cecil Moe that he gave his only begotten Son." I said, "Preacher, that's not true. That is not true. God doesn't love me." He said, "Why you say that, Cecil?" I said, "If he loved me so much, why did he take my little sister by death? Why did he take my mom by death? Why did he take my dad by death? And I was raised by a mean, mean stepmother that used to beat me and abuse me, things you wouldn't believe." He said, "For God so loved Cecil Moe, and the Holy Spirit was a drawing at my old heart, just a tugging at me. I wanted so much to believe what that preacher was saying." The other day, I went over to a flower shop to get my wife a little bouquet of flowers. And you know, while this lady was preparing them, all of a sudden I noticed this little child in the high chair. And I was telling about my daughter's little girl that they gave her, and they're trying to get away from my daughter. Raised by her family are all drug addicts, and he just got out of the penitentiary. And I said, "Those are the most precious little things in the world." And she said, "Oh, you're right." Then I began to share my personal testimony. And all of a sudden, friends, tears began to stream down her cheek. And I said, "Ma'am, are you an alcoholic?" She says, "No." But she says, "My sweetheart is." Well, she said, I should say he was. He's been sober 2 years. I said, "Oh, praise the Lord." And I said, "Listen, I got something I want to give you." And I went out in the car and I got her an unshackled tape and a book that I wrote, and I gave it to her, and I told her I'd bring a copy of my film over and give it to her. And she came over and she hugged my neck. See, I know how that lady must have hurt. I knew how my mother used to hurt, my wife used to hurt for all the terrible things that I did. Boy. But God gave an invitation at an ungodly time. What was the source of this invitation? Saith the Lord. Here we see God calling those who had forsaken him, people who rejected his way and his word. Let me ask you this. When you go to church, why do you go there? Because it's a thing to do? Or you want to worship the Lord? Or you want to give of your tithes? Listen, when you sitting in that pew, instead of visiting and jawing with your neighbor, you should have your head bowed and your eyes shut. And you need to be praying for the pastor, that God would anoint him and give him a message that would bring people to Christ. So much of time, you know, I don't agree. I love the Catholics, but I don't agree with the theology. But I tell you, you won't go in a Catholic church and see them jawing with one another. They're taught not to do that. And we should be taught to reverence the Lord when we go in his house. People had grieved and provoked his Holy Spirit. Now, the people reminded Isaiah of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 9 and 10. "Unless the Lord Almighty has left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the words of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah." People say, "Oh, Cecil, do you really believe that Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed?" I certainly do. And you know why? There was homosexuality. as sin was rampant, and you know, now again, there you're going to say, well, now see, so you don't like homosexuals. That's a dirty lie. I'll sit down with a homosexual husband any day of the week and tell him about Jesus. But see, friends, they don't want to believe the Bible. It's not me or other preachers or other Christians making the rules. It's what God said. And they say, no, that's not true. Homosexuality is a lifestyle and not sin. The Bible said it is sin. Well, just a few righteous ones kept Sodom them from destruction for a while. Isaiah called them citizens of those wicked cities. You know what I liked about Isaiah? He called sin, sin. He was not afraid to share God's message to the ungodly people. Even their feast was an abomination to the Lord. And yet, dear friends, God kept inviting them to come and be clean. Well, tell those men and women in prison, no matter what they've done, if they repent of their sins and call on Jesus, he'll save them. And many of them believe it, and many of them respond, and many trust Christ. You've always heard me when at the end of the broadcast I say, if you don't mean this prayer, don't you dare pray it, because you're going to get yourself in a whole heap of trouble. Don't do it unless you mean it. An invitation for cleansing at a sinful time. Now this is an invitation to be forgiven. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. From scarlet to red and white to snow. Well, from crimson to red to as white as snow, or white as wool. Friends, this was a desire of David's heart when he committed that terrible sin. Psalm 51:7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Oh, he did a terrible sin, but you know what? He was a man after God's own heart, and so are you tonight. And he wants you to be cleansed. He wants, there's a song we used to sing in church, what will wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, there's power in the blood. Without the blood, we have no salvation. He shed his precious blood on Calvary that we might have eternal life. Friends, God meets you where you are. Don't try to gussy yourself up and then come to God. Well, what does that hymn say? Just as I am without one plea. Don't try to come in there all cleaned up, because it isn't going to work. He wants you just exactly like you are. You know, people, after you're saved, some people think, well, I've got to change my personality. I've got to change. No, you don't. God wants to use you like he found you. When after he saved you, he wants you to use your own personality. Oh, friends, God changes people. We don't have to change. You say, Cecil, you don't know what a filthy sinner I am. Well, but God does. Now, he knows that if you'll trust him, repent of your sins, that he can save you. But God tonight is still calling to the unreasonable and the ungodly. He will forgive and cleanse all who come to him. His blood still makes guilty ones clean, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us all our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now you see, Cecil, I'm a Christian, and I got backslidden and I did some terrible things. What happens to me? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us. That's from all unrighteousness. That's what God will do for you. Now, if you're a Christian and you've sinned, and you will sin, oh, of course, there's those who don't, but that's not in the Bible. Isn't it reasonable to respond to God's call tonight? Come unto me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you peace or rest. He that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Here's the question. Heaven or hell? The choice is yours. You say, Cecil, I couldn't love a God who'd send a man to hell. Well, I got news for you. God doesn't send a man to hell or a woman to hell. You send yourself by rejecting your son. That's what it says. The Bible says. Anyway, tonight I want to extend an invitation to you. I really do. Again, don't pray this prayer unless you don't mean it. If you don't mean it, please don't pray it. But if you're tired for your sinful life and you feel a real tug at your heart from God's Holy Spirit as he draws you to his bleeding side. Oh, he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Tonight he's drawing your heart. I'm asking you to bow your head if you feel a need to trust Jesus tonight. Pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for all the things I've done to you and done to my family and my loved ones. Tonight, oh Lord, I'm opening my heart and I'm receiving you as my Lord and personal Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, you get on the phone and you call 303-471-8534. 303-471-8534. I don't care where you go to church. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. I will not use your name on the air. I do not care where you go to church. I am tremendously concerned where you spend eternity. God loves you, and I love you. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.